Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to New York. Attention fans, this is the Devil's State of Mind podcast, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. Now here's your host, Neil Villapiano!
How the hell do we keep getting this lucky in the draft lottery? What is going on, Devils fans? It is once again your boy Neil Villapiano, and welcome to another edition of the Devil's State of Mind podcast right here on the Hockey Podcast Network, the best place to get everything you need to know about your New Jersey Devils. I hope you guys, as always, are having a fantastic day wherever you're listening to this podcast episode. Thank you guys, as always, for taking time out of your day to check these episodes out. I greatly, greatly appreciate this episode and everything we do here at the Hockey Podcast Network are sponsored by our awesome friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. With the NBA playoffs fully underway into round two, and we're already having some exciting matchups and games in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, DraftKings is giving you unbelievable opportunities to get huge cash prizes. So if you want to get in on all of the action, here's what you do. Go to DraftKings, use our promo code THPN, and tell them Neil Villapiano sent you. Guys, I really cannot believe what happened on Tuesday evening during the draft lottery. I can't explain it other than the Devils may have the greatest luck of any team in draft lottery history, considering the type of luck we've had over the last 5-6 years. Now, that's not necessarily a great thing, because you want to get to the point where you're no longer worrying about the draft lottery and worrying a lot more about who you're playing in the playoffs. But obviously, this was something that the Devils were heavily involved in, and ended up making some decent headlines because of it. So we're going to obviously recap the draft lottery. I'm going to give you the full list of teams in the order as of right now, because obviously the Stanley Cup playoffs is still going on. So we don't know exactly what the order is going to be full with all 32 teams, but we'll know by obviously when the draft starts. The next thing we're going to talk about after that is a surprising fire by one of our Metropolitan Division rivals, and why this individual who was let go might be the perfect person to lead the New Jersey Devils into future glory. And then we are going to end this episode by giving out my Devils Team Awards. So this is an action-packed episode. As always, we have a bunch to get to here on the Devil's State of Mind podcast. So let's not waste any more time and get rolling. So let's start with something that I actually think is really hilarious, and that is the devil's luck when it comes to the draft lottery. So this happened, well, not yesterday. You guys are listening to this on Thursday. This happened on Tuesday evening, May 10th, 2022. It was the 2022 NHL draft lottery. Now, gonna say it right off the bat, was not really looking forward to it. Not because of anything like, you know, I wasn't curious to know where the Devils were going to end up in the lottery. It's just that because of how frequent the Devils have been in this and how used to we've all gotten to the Devils being in the lottery, that I'm just kind of fed up. I'm tired of being in the lottery. I want this team to be in the playoffs. I want to worry about the team playing in the playoffs and eventually making a run to winning a Stanley Cup. I think that's what we all want at the end of the day, but nothing we could do about it this time around. The Devils went into the draft lottery with the fifth best odds at 8.5% to win the 2022 NHL draft lottery. The top three teams going into it were the Coyotes, the Canadiens, and the Seattle Kraken. It was just drawing a blank there. The Philadelphia Flyers actually were in fourth, had the fourth best odds going into it. My initial feeling was that the Devils were going to end up between the pick 7, 6, or 5. That's where I really thought that we were going to end up. I didn't think that we were going to move at all or move up at all. I didn't think anything like that. I wasn't trying to be negative. I was just being more realistic because although the Devils have had huge amounts of luck when it comes to moving up in the draft and eventually getting the number one overall pick and things like that. You look at last year, we didn't move at all. We were expected to get the fourth overall pick, and that's what we got. And because the lottery system is different now, with the top two teams getting much higher chances to get number one or number two, that again, it just felt like that this was going to be another year where not much movement or no movement at all was going to happen. And you look at it, and we'll just start from 16 and work our way up. The first selection, or 16th overall, was the Vegas Golden Knights. But because of the Jack Eichel trade, they actually gave their pick this year to Buffalo. So the Sabres will have the 16th overall pick as well as their own. So that's two first-round picks in the first 16 picks, which is very good. 15 was Vancouver. The Winnipeg Jets followed after that at 14. The New York Islanders at 13. Blue Jackets, the first of two first-round picks that they have, and we'll talk about them in a second. Blue Jackets got to 12. Sharks at 11, so the San Jose Sharks actually have their first-round pick this year. Anaheim Ducks at 10. Buffalo with its second first-round pick. Theirs, actually, this was their pick. They were number 9. Red Wings at number 8. Senators at number 7. Blue Jackets again at 6 via the Blackhawks because of the Seth Jones trade. So the Blue Jackets have two top picks, which is very good considering that they have drafted pretty damn well over the last two seasons. I really like what they've done. And then we got to pick number 5. So at this point, nothing different had happened. It was going exactly the way that we all predicted. The question now was, where were the Devils going to be? Now, the Devils also came into the draft lottery knowing that at that point, if it got to 5 and nothing had happened, that they would either stay at 5 or end up getting one of the top two picks. That was pretty much the odds that they were given. They weren't going to move up to just 4 or 3. It was either going to be the 5th overall pick or picks 1 or 2. That was basically what it was. So we got to pick 5, and the deputy commissioner, Daly, flipped over the card, and it was the Philadelphia Flyers. So that meant that the Devils moved from a top 5 pick to now a top 3, or even more specifically, a top 2. So there was that. Number 4 ended up being the Seattle Kraken, and then you got to number 3, and it ended up being the Arizona Coyotes. So at this point, number 1, I think it's actually hilarious that the Flyers ended up having to move back a spot, and the Devils actually ended up overtaking them. So that's another win for us in our Metropolitan Division rivalry with them. But you got to the top two picks, and it was either going to be Montreal or the New Jersey Devils. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, there is no way in hell we are going to end up with the first overall pick again. There's no way in hell it's going to happen. And so the commissioner Daly, Deputy Commissioner Daly, he decided he was going to flip over the number one overall, the number one overall pick, and then he was going to announce the two instead of going 2-1. So we got the number one overall pick. For some stupid reason, my heart was pounding for absolutely, for just, like I said, stupid reason. They flipped it over, and the Montreal Canadiens won the 2022 NHL Draft Lottery, which meant that the Devils had officially moved from pick number 5 to pick number 2. So the Devils will be picking second overall in the 2022 NHL Draft. So what does that mean exactly? Well, it means a couple of things. Number one, let's talk about the main thing that we talked about in the last episode, and that's about Tom Fitzgerald and what he said in his end of the season press conference, that Tom Fitzgerald made it public that he was willing to move on from the team's first round pick if the right deal came across, if they felt that whatever player or players they were getting were going to be major impact players. And it had to be a blowaway deal. It can't be that we're getting a guy that maybe could potentially be a star player on this team. It's a guy that we know for a fact is going to come in and really, really do well. And obviously there's, you know, I think of guys like Kevin Fiala, who was rumored last week to go to the Devils, maybe not considering only because this was the first major year that he's had in his career. And is he really worth the second overall pick? I don't know. Matthew Tkachuk, potentially, if the Calgary Flames do decide to move on from Tkachuk, I think that's a possibility. I don't really know any others that rumored to be traded per se. So we'll just kind of leave it at that. Obviously, with the Devils moving from 5-2, it makes things more interesting because it now means that the Devils will probably end up using that pick to select a player. Because I just don't think any team out there is going to blow away the Devils with a deal. I think that if we had had 5, 6, or 7, I think it would have been, I think more teams would have been willing to give up a big time player that they had to move, whoever that might be, and still end up getting a top 10 pick or even a top 5 pick. But I think now a lot of teams that maybe had interest probably won't have interest after this, which is not a bad thing from the Devils' perspective because of the fact that regardless of who they end up taking, and look, as the offseason progresses, we'll talk in much greater detail about the potential prospects that the Devils could take with the second overall pick, and We'll discuss all of that at a later time. But you look at the Devils and you say, okay, they're going to end up getting a very talented player that will just add on to what is already a very strong farm system, which is also considered one of the best farm systems in the National Hockey League. And yeah, you could also say that that player could eventually be used in a different trade down the road. There's so many different possibilities. But I think at the end of the day, the Devils moving up is a win-win situation because if the Devils do trade the pick, it means that they're going to get a massive impact player or players, depending on who's available and what teams are willing to move on from. On the other hand, it's a win situation because of the fact that the Devils are going to end up selecting a very, very talented player. Not saying they weren't going to do that if they had the 5th, 6th, or 7th overall pick, but now they're really getting into the top 3 most talented players. Very much likely that the Canadians will take, Shane Wright with the 1st overall pick. Then there's probably some questions about where the Devils might go with pick number 2. But again, we'll talk about that at a later date. But the bottom line is simply this. The Devils, once again, with some impressive luck in the draft lottery, literally the only team to move. Now you could say, well, the Flyers moved down. No, there was literally one team that moved, and that was the Devils. And you know what I also think is funny is that the owners of these teams, they actually end up knowing well beforehand that the draft lottery went the way that it went. And they're not supposed to tell the GM. So they do the lottery, I think like an hour or so before they actually broadcast it. So the owners already know, but the GMs have no clue. So it's about sitting around and waiting and going from there. Now we've seen over the last 24 hours, videos come out showing Gary Bettman doing the lottery and things like that. But it is damn funny how the Devils once again, with some luck of the balls moving around in the lottery machine, that they ended up with the 2nd overall pick in this year's NHL draft. So we'll see what the Devils decide to do with this pick. Draft a player, trade it, move down in the draft, maybe if they get a good offer as well. We'll see. Only time will tell. But the New Jersey Devils will officially select number 2 overall in the 2022 NHL entry draft. So the second topic I wanted to discuss with you guys is something that myself and nobody else in the hockey world was prepared to talk about. And that is the bombshell news that we got on Monday morning when the New York Islanders, via their social media, announced that they had fired head coach Barry Trotz. It was a stunner, an absolute stunner, because of a couple of reasons. Number one is simply this. You look at what he's done, Barry Trotz, since he got to the island. The last 2 years prior to this year, he got them to the conference finals. And yeah, it's unfortunate they weren't able to get over the hump. And yes, at times their offense was non-existent. But for him to get the Islanders that close, when the Islanders have not gotten that close since the early 90s, is absolutely phenomenal. And you look at the track record that Barry Trotz has in his career. He, from 1997 to 2014, was the biggest reason, other than Pecorine, that got the Nashville Predators on the map. He did a phenomenal job. He got him to the playoffs several times, 7 in total, if I remember correctly. And he really, really helped the Predators become the franchise that they're beloved today. And then he goes to the Washington Capitals. And in his last year, which ultimately ended up being his last year, he did something that nobody else could ever do in the history of the Washington Capitals. And that is win a Stanley Cup. He finally was able to help Ovechkin. He helped guys like Evgeny Kuznetsov and also Nicholas Backstrom and John Carlson really, really elevate their game. And he even got Tom Wilson to become a 20-plus goal scorer per year. That is very impressive from an offensive standpoint, and also from a defensive standpoint. I mean, he ended up helping John Carlson make a lot of money in his next contract. Same can be said for some other players as well. But when he got to the Islanders and did what he did, it was very, very impressive. And Barry Trotz is considered to be not only one of the best coaches in the NHL, but one of the most respected. And Lou Lamoriello, our former general manager, and now the general manager and president of the New York Islanders, he said when he spoke to the media after relieving Barry Trotz that Barry Trotz is a great human being and a great, great coach. And whoever gets him is going to be very, very lucky. And it's kind of like, well, why did the Islanders move on from Barry Trotz? Well, there is no definitive reason to this, except Lou Lamoriello said that he felt that the team, the players in the locker room, needed a new voice. Which is kind of ironic, it's kind of frustrating because I look at it from the Devils' perspective, and I've said verbatim that the Devils need a new voice in the locker room. And while they will make coaching changes, Lindy Ruff is still at this time the head coach of the New Jersey Devils. But that was the main reason that Lou Lamoriello gave. The Islanders finished this year 37-35-10 with 84 points, 16 points behind the Washington Capitals for the second wildcard spot. The Islanders got off to a horrible start this year because of lack of consistency, COVID, a bunch of different things. It was a very difficult year overall for the New York Islanders, a team that, including myself, expected to make a long, potentially Stanley Cup run this year. But they ended up not doing that. And you look at the Islanders as a team and you wonder to yourself, are they getting to the point where they're starting to consider a rebuild? Because they don't really have a lot of young prospects coming up the wings. And they're one of the oldest teams in the NHL. And they do have some question marks. And their offense is just still not been consistent, despite having guys like Matt Barzal, Anders Lee, Oliver Wahlstrom, is, you know, just to name a couple of guys. Another big rumor that I heard over the last 24 hours about why Barry Trotz might have been fired was his relationship with Matt Barzal. I believe it was Josh Nichols, who actually hosts one of the podcasts here on the Hockey Podcast Network, the Nassau Men podcast, which is one of the Islanders podcasts we have here on the Hockey Podcast Network. Go subscribe to those guys. He actually said on social media that from the sources that he was getting earlier this year, that there was definitely some discontent between Matt Barzell and Barry Trotz. And he got to a point where it was like, you either are going to keep Barry Trotz or you keep Matt Barzell. And so I guess the Islanders decided, based off of that rumor, again, it's just a rumor, but based off that rumor, that the Islanders decide to stick with Matt Barzell and move on from Barry Trotz. When you look at Barry Trotz again, I will just reiterate this. In four seasons as the Islanders team head coach, Trotz was 152, 102, and 34 at 28 and 21 in the playoffs. The Islanders had reached the third round of the playoffs in two straight seasons, losing to the eventual Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning both times. So again, in a very short span, almost similar to his time in Washington, he was able to do a lot of really, really good things, including, I believe he did win a Jack Adams Award for Coach of the Year two or three seasons ago, if I remember correctly. But the big thing is simply this. Barry Trotz is now available as a head coach. The biggest thing, biggest problem for the Devils is that they still have a head coach right now. They are not, at least from what we've been told, are not looking for a new head coach. Lindy Ruff is still here. He is in the final year of his three-year contract that he signed when he was hired 2 years ago. And at this moment, I would tell Devils fans to not get their hopes up. Based off of what Fitzgerald said in his press conference and things like that, he looks to pretty much go with Lindy Ruff going into the 2022-23 season. And that's just something we're going to have to deal with. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that that ends up being the case. And the reason I say that is because of this. NRD Rumors on Twitter, really good guy. And honestly, his sources are very good. He actually was fielding a couple of questions from fans about different rumors. And they brought up, they brought up Barry Trotz. And somebody asked them, just off the top of your head, what would be the two most likely places that Barry Trotz would end up? And NRD said, very quickly, Winnipeg or New Jersey. Now, the reason Winnipeg was brought up is, number one, they obviously do need a new head coach with Paul Maurice resigning earlier this year. Number two, Winnipeg is the hometown of Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz is from there. So for him, being 59 years of age, not sure how much longer Barry Trotz wants to keep coaching, it could be a good place for him to go. I don't necessarily consider Barry Trotz to be a rebuilding type of coach. I don't know if the Winnipeg Jets are looking to potentially rebuild, but it just doesn't seem like that that is a great place to go, but they still have a lot of talent. I mean, they still have Mark Scheifele. They still have Blake Wheeler, Connor Hellebuck in net, Pierre-Luc Dubois as well. A couple of guys, just to name a few. So it is possible that Barry Trotz could go there and maybe be the voice that gets the Winnipeg Jets back into the playoffs. And when he also mentioned New Jersey, I mean, it makes a lot of sense because, first of all, Barry Trotz knows this division. He's played against us, he's coached against us many a times, and he's coached not only the Islanders, but also the Capitals, both teams in our division. So he knows those teams very, very well. Number two, it's not a long distance between coming from the island and coming over to New Jersey. So there's another reason there. Tom Fitzgerald and Barry Trotz do have a relationship from when I believe Fitzgerald played for Barry Trotz. So there is something with that. The other thing that I wanted to mention, and again, this is a rumor. This is not definitive or anything like that. This is a straight up rumor. There have been rumblings going around the last week or so, or 2 weeks really, that the Devils could potentially not really fire Lindy Ruff, but quote unquote promote him to a different role within the organization, relieving him as the head coach, and then the Devils obviously hiring a different head coach. Now, Jack Hughes said straight up that he loves playing for Lindy Ruff and wants to keep playing for Lindy Ruff. Now, that might not be the greatest thing to say, considering how Lindy Ruff, from a team perspective, has done in his 2 years so far as head coach of this team. And obviously, Jack Hughes may not know any better because he's had John Hines, Alain Nasruddin, and Lindy Ruff as his head coaches since he got into the league. So it's a little bit tough. Nico Hischier said that he wasn't going to talk about it, but he might have just been like, because he just didn't know what the situation was going to be and things like that. But if you're one of your star players is telling you that he wants to keep Lindy Ruff, then that makes me feel that Lindy Ruff is going to stay. But the Devils could also go down the route that I just said based off that rumor that they keep Lindy Ruff around, but they bring in a new head coach. I think, honestly, though, if they do that, I think that Kevin Dineen ends up being the most likely guy, considering what he's doing with Utica. They're already up 1-0 in their playoffs series against Rochester in the AHL playoffs, and they could very well make a championship run if things go right. But he's obviously there, and he's easily available because he's already in our organization. But if Barry Trotz is interested in coming to New Jersey, if I'm Tom Fitzgerald, I think you have to make this call because Barry Trotz has something that Lindy Ruff doesn't have, and that is championship experience. Yes, Lindy Ruff took the Buffalo Sabres in 1999 to the Stanley Cup Finals, but they didn't win. Barry Trotz, on the other hand, took the Washington Capitals and won them their still only championship in franchise history with star players. Yes, they were veterans. Yes, people are critical of Barry Trotz and the way he handles young players. But this team, this organization, has gotten to the point where it now has to win. And Tom Fitzgerald, in my opinion, is on the hot seat because he needs to start winning. That's why he was hired. Because the organization believed that he was the guy that would finally help this team win. And Lindy Ruff was brought in to develop the team and eventually win. And while some of our core guys in general have developed and gotten better, the team itself has finished towards the bottom of the NHL, and we're drafting second overall this year. So when you have an opportunity like this, you gotta do it, man. But I also wouldn't fire Lindy Ruff. If you speak, let's say you speak to Barry Trotz and maybe he says that he's not interested, and there you go. So if he's not interested and you fire Lindy Ruff, that puts you in a really awkward situation, but still it forces you nonetheless to get a different head coach and a different voice in there. But I will just say this to kind of recap, to kind of end this whole discussion. I would not get my hopes up at all, Devils fans. I think that most likely we will keep Lindy Ruff and Barry Trotz will go somewhere else. That's the way that I look at it. But again, things could change. This is still very, very fresh and you don't know what can happen. So let's see where things go. But Barry Trotz is now available as a head coaching candidate, and we'll see if the Devils want to take a shot on Barry Trotz. Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the playoffs? With DraftKings same-game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN to bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets, no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. So the last thing that I wanted to do tier today on this edition of the Devil State of Mind podcast is give out my team awards. And I saw the Devils media people who are in the Devils organization do their team awards. And I wasn't really, really thrilled with some of the choices that people made, but it is entitled to their opinion. And I totally get it. So what I decided to do is basically go off the same list of awards and give my opinion on that. So let's just jump right into it. First one is my team MVP. For me, it is Jesper Bratt. And it's because you look at what he did this year. 26 goals, tied for first on the team. 47 assists. That's first on the Devils. 73 points, also first on the Devils. Jesper Bratt was far and away the best, well, not far and away, but certainly the best player, in my opinion, the MVP of this team. And yes, Jack Hughes made major strides as a guy who's becoming a superstar, and he was showcased on the NHL world during the All-Star weekend and things like that, and many people consider him to be the face of this team and helping them out in marketing. But when you look at the most valuable player, the guy that really, really was valuable, and when he wasn't in the lineup at times, you could see the team struggling, was Jesper Bratt. Jesper Bratt, in a year where he's going to be restricted free agent at season's end and is going to be looking for a pay raise, really, really improved this game. And it was great to see. He has showcased that he is arguably one of the most underrated players in the National Hockey League and a guy that is going to be a top six scoring winger for years to come. And the hope is obviously that Tom Fitzgerald and his team can get a deal done sooner rather than later with him. So that's one less major thing we got to worry about during this offseason. But for me, Jesper Bratt definitely was my team MVP. Now you go to Offensive Player of the Year. Now, again, I could have gone with Jesper Bratt because he was tied for first in goals, first in assists, and first in overall points. But I wanted to be a little bit more, you know, giving to some other guys and things like that. And so I decided to give Jack Hughes Offensive Player of the Year. Now, he was tied for first in goals with Jesper Bratt at 26th. He was fourth on the team in assists with 30 and finished third in points with 56. Now, as we all know, he missed almost 20 games with a shoulder injury, and he also missed a bunch of games at the end of the season due to a lower body injury as well. So he missed a lot of games this year, and he still put up those numbers. And you wonder if he had played a full 82-game season, what his stats would have actually looked like. I mean, it's something that obviously you really, really do wonder. But I think when you look at the strides that Jack Hughes made, the pressure that he got put on him, signing that long-term extension early in the season and things like that, he really, really showed so many flashes of the superstar that he is becoming. And you really saw it. And you saw what type of reaction the rest of the team gets when he's on the ice and he's flying and making absurd plays and putting on a highlight reel. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I think he was honestly our most valuable offensive player. Because again, Jesper Bratt was our overall MVP, the guy that really, really got everything going. But when it came to the offense and what this person could do being a point per game player, I had to give it to Jack Hughes. So give me Jack Hughes to be the Offensive Player of the Year. Defensive Player of the Year. This was actually kind of a fun thing to figure out because you kind of looked at it and said, well, defense wasn't as bad as it was the year before. We did make some strides. For me, I gave it to Jonas Siegenthaler. He had one goal, which was honestly, I think it was like his first goal in the NHL or his first goal as a Devil, which was big. 13 assists for 14 points. He also did miss a bunch of games at the end of the season due to injury as well. But I think when you looked at Jonas Siegenthaler throughout the season and during these games, he was such a calming presence on the back end. He would just make the simple plays, using his stick properly to whack the puck off somebody, be physical when he had to, be a solid penalty killer, which helped the Devils actually finish as a top 15 penalty kill team, which is an improvement from the last couple of years. And I think he was just a very strong, calming presence. And I think this being his first full year in New Jersey after being traded from Washington to the Devils, he really has fit in very well and has been a very, very valuable player to this team on the back end. So for all of those reasons, I gave Defensive Player of the Year to Jonas Siegenthaler. Now we come to an award that I think was pretty obvious to give it to this player, and that is giving Dawson Mercer Rookie of the Year. 17 goals, 25 assists for 42 points. This season, he finished top five in goals, top five assists for the team, and finished top 10 in points. At one point, we were talking about Dawson Mercer being a guy that could eventually win the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year. Now, he did go through a very long stretch where he really wasn't scoring and he kind of fell off, and now he's not even a top three candidate, but he still had a really, really good rookie year with this team. Really, it was just impressive because he went into training camp and made the team out of training camp, and he ended up being the only player on the Devils to play every single game. He played all 82 games, and now he's going to be playing in the World Championships for Canada. So Dawson Mercer is developing very, very well at a very quick rate, which is great to see from a Devils perspective. So he really took the fan base by storm, and it was definitely impressive. And I'm looking forward to Dawson Mercer being a guy that could get to 20, 25, maybe even 30 goals down the road. And a guy who not only could play a center position, but also could be big on the wings as well, be a Swiss Army knife type player, which is great. So easily rookie of the year for me is Dawson Mercer. Now, most improved, I actually ended up giving it to two players, and that is Captain Nico Hischier and winger Jesper Boqvist, excuse me. Nico, for the standpoint of, he had his best season this year statistically and just overall playing-wise since his rookie year. A lot of people, including myself at times, was critical of Nico over the last two or three years because he was slowly getting fewer goals, fewer points, and just not playing and not living up to the hype that he got when he was selected first overall back in 2017. And you look at the production of a guy like Miro Heiskanen or Elias Pettersson or certainly Cale Makar, a lot of times we were questioning, did the Devils make the right decision? I still think the Devils, for the way that their team is constructed long-term, I think they did make the right decision to draft Nico. And this year, having his first full year as the captain of this team, he really, really did lead by example on the ice. He finished with 21 goals, 39 assists for 60 points. Really, really got better, certainly on the faceoffs. A guy that some people even considered to be a finalist for the Selke Trophy, and we're hearing that maybe it's possible he could finish as a top three candidate. Who knows? But he definitely improved in all facets of his game. It seemed like from the way players were talking, he improved a lot as a leader in the locker room. And I'm sure he's going to take another major step moving forward. And you do have to give credit to Lindy Ruff for helping Nico elevate his game to another level, which is very, very good. Now with Jesper Boqvist, I've talked about him several times and said, when he got called up a couple of months ago, he really made it a point that he was not only going to get on this team, but he was going to stick around and find a definitive role long-term. And that's what he did. He finished with 10 goals, adding another guy to get the double digits in goals, 13 assists for 23 points, by far his best season of his career. And you look at one point when Boqvist was considered our top prospect, he had a lot of pressure on him, a lot of expectations, really struggled to find consistency in the NHL. But going into this season, again, he's kind of going up and down. But eventually in, I believe it was January, he got called up and he never looked back. And he had some really, really impressive plays and just improved overall to the point where the Devils were giving him power play time because he was playing so well offensively. So that's a really, really positive thing to see for a guy that I don't think is going to end up being a top six player on this team, but certainly could bring some solid offensive capabilities to the bottom six, which is very, very important. So for all those reasons, I gave most improved awards to Nico Hischier and Jesper Boqvist. Now we have two more awards to give out. Biggest surprise was Nico Daws. Nico Daws, 2 years ago, number one North American goaltender selected. A lot of people said the Devils got a steal. And Nico Daws came in. Obviously, we didn't expect him to play, but considering how awful our goaltending situation was this season, he had to play a lot. He ended up playing in 25 games, posting a 10-11-1 record, which is not great. A 3.11 goals against average at a .893 save percentage. But he was the biggest surprise because, again, number one, he wasn't expected to play on the Devils this year, but played pretty well in certain games. I mean, his first game was a shutout win in overtime, or I think it was just a win in overtime. He showed flashes of a guy that long-term could be a big solution in net. And I'm sure he's going to work hard to try to see if he can make a definitive spot on this roster going into the 22-23 NHL season. So that's something to keep an eye on. So yeah, Nico Daws, for some of the really, really good play that he made in net, was my biggest surprise. Now, most underrated. I get it. A lot of us want to say Jesper Bratt, but for us as Devils fans, he wasn't the most underrated on the team. He might be one of the most underrated players in the NHL. As a matter of fact, I think he certainly is. But I think the most underrated player on the team that I think we didn't talk about enough was Jimmy Vesey. Jimmy Vesey, as we all know, a very touted college player out of Harvard, won the Hobey Baker in his final year as the best player in college hockey. He was a free agent, and he had a choice between us, the Rangers, and I believe the Boston Bruins. He chose the Rangers, and early on in his career, it looked like he was going to really become a star. And then for one reason or another, he just struggled to get himself going. He struggled in Buffalo, struggled in Toronto, and certainly struggled in Vancouver as well, just having a lot of trouble finding a role that works best for him. So he came to the Devils in the offseason, signing a professional tryout contract, just trying to make the team. And sure enough, he did exactly that. He ended up earning a contract out of training camp and making the team. And he scored a couple of really good goals, a shorthanded goal. He was honestly, he might arguably be our best penalty killer this year from a forward perspective. He really did a lot of the little things right. And he made a lot of good plays, setting up guys to eventually create opportunities going the other way. And again, just doing the little things right. So I really like the way Jimmy Vesey played. And I hope the Devils bring him back. I think that he can definitely be a contributor to this team on the bottom six and certainly on the penalty kill. And I think he was a guy that he earned everything that he got this year. And I think it was very impressive. And it is, again, ironic that he ended up here in New Jersey after spurring us several years ago. But I was very much happy to have him on the team and how he played this year. And I was very impressed with what he did. So for all of those reasons, I am going to give most underrated player award to Jimmy Vesey. So let's quickly recap. MVP, Jesper Bratt. Offensive Player of the Year, Jack Hughes. Defensive Player of the Year, Jonas Siegenthaler. Rookie of the Year, Dawson Mercer. Most Improved, Nico Hischier and Jesper Boqvist. Biggest Surprise, Nico Daws. And as I just mentioned, Most Underrated, Jimmy Vesey. And that, ladies and gentlemen, are my season awards for the New Jersey Devils. As always, guys, let me know what you think on Twitter at Devil State, Instagram at Devil State of Mind, and also on Facebook if you just happen to come across it as well. And let me know what you guys think should have been the player awards. And also let me know about what you think about Barry Trotz, maybe if he becomes a candidate and maybe ends up in New Jersey. And also, obviously, your feelings on the Devils ending up getting the second overall pick in the 2022 NHL draft. So again, guys, the offseason is officially underway. Going to get a lot of rumors, a lot of different things like that. It's going to be exciting, and I hope you guys stick around for the ride here on the Devil's State of Mind podcast.